Blog Talk Radio.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
All right, good evening, everyone, for another edition of the Super Dave Show. It's Tuesday. It would be Tuesday, May 22nd, and time for a big show tonight. A lot of Ron Paul news, actually a lot of candidate news. The reason is because the candidates are already picked by the media, by the GOP, and by the Democrat Party, since that's who picks them, and the people and the voters just don't pick them anymore. You know, it just, you know, I remember growing up and I was thinking the Wall Street Journal was such a, such an esteemed magazine, I mean, paper that was, you know, just class and integrity and, you know, and it isn't anymore. It's the Republican Party. They just do whatever they want and they say, the hell with you voters. We want Mitt Romney. That's what's going to happen. And, baby, you're stuck with him. Well, you know something? There's a lot of people out there that aren't quite agreeing with that. And, you know, it's kind of the story behind the story right now. Unfortunately, the media isn't reporting the story. That's, you know, why would we expect that? And what gets me, too, is that are the people that I used to respect, which would be Rush and Hannity and those people, they're not reporting either. Of course, if I'm not mistaken, they work for Fox. Let me see. Hannity works for Fox News, and Rush works for Bain Capital. Isn't that great? Isn't it nice to have all these wonderful Republicans there telling us what to do? Oh, I'm telling you. All right, let me give you the number to call if you'd like to be part of the show. 323-784-9620. Call in and give us your thoughts. Got a few issues with my friend Ronnie. And Ronnie, by the way, is on the chat room. We have a chat room you can go to. And those of you that don't want to call in, you can go to the chat room and let me know what you're thinking right there. Even on Facebook, we do it there. But, Ronnie, we got to talk about this education thing a little bit because I understand where you're going. I was kind of shocked. I just want to mention something. My friend Ronnie and I were kind of going back and forth, and he was telling me about laptops. And I totally understand because laptops cost a fortune. And unfortunately, it doesn't matter, you know, because, you know, who's buying these things? You said they cost $1,000 a piece. I find that absolutely insane. So, you know, I just $1,000, you know, hey, Ronnie, when you get a chance, let me know what the textbooks cost too. I'd like to know that too. Because from what I'm from what I remember, they're not exactly too cheap either. You know, that's quite the place to be. And I actually know some of the salesmen work for those publishing companies and they're making a lot of money right now. Lots of money. All right, we got somebody on the line here. Let's see who's calling nice and early here. All right, welcome to the Super Dave Show. Who we got here?
Hey, Super Dave, it's Clay. What's up?
Hey, what are you doing, Clay? How you been?
Oh, pretty good. Just wanted to get on your conversation about Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney, yeah. The he's the president. He's the Republican nominee, isn't he? According to the press and all the other important people. I think the nomination's over, isn't it?
I hope not.
What isn't that?
Yesterday in Chicago, Barack Obama attacked Mitt Romney, and I thought it was really interesting because I actually agreed with Mitt Romney, or I actually agree with Barack Obama on why he was attacking Mitt Romney.
You're not supposed to do that, Clay, because it's left against right. And if you agree with somebody on the left, then that makes you something different. You know, I mean, that's how the game's played, isn't it?
Well, I agree with Obama on what he said. I don't know if we agree on why he, you know, on the actual reason deeper down, if you know what I mean. I mean, obviously, Obama's got one reason for saying it, and I've got one reason for, you know, actually applauding him. And I'll read the quote to you.
In
Chicago yesterday, he said, "If your main argument for how to grow the economy is I knew how to make a lot of money for investors, then you're missing what this job is about." Now, I know where he's getting, where Obama's getting at. He's attacking him for being an investment capitalist. I don't have a problem with that. What I do have a problem is this is the only reason we should vote for Mitt Romney, is because he's a great businessman who's accumulated all this wealth, and supposedly that's going to tie into saving this $16 trillion in the whole economy that we're in. And to me, what we're missing here, and this is what you need to be aware of, is Romney's not running on his liberal record of Massachusetts that supported gun control, abortions, forced Catholic hospitals of Massachusetts to administer abortion pills. He's saying, look, I am a central planner. I am a micromanager, and I am going to Washington to do the exact same thing Barack Obama did.
That's exactly right.
Micromanage the economy. Now, Barack Obama obviously didn't say it for that very reason, but his words are true.
You know, there's so little difference in these two people, it's not even funny. Yes, Obama is a huge leftist, there's no doubt about that, but you said it earlier when you were saying all the different things about Mitt Romney, and I got to tell you a little story, and for those of you who didn't listen yesterday, I got to tell you this. There's a talk show host in St. Louis who was complaining about Mitt Romney a few years ago and just saying how awful he was and how dirty he was and how she had no respect for him. And, of course, I don't respect this talk show host. But anyway, all of a sudden, now that he's on our team, it's okay. He's all right now because he can play dirty against those other guys. Is this the same guy with no integrity as before? You know, I got to tell you, there was one time I saw a video where there was a young man who was talking to Mitt Romney about the drug war and how he needed pot in order to survive, and he truly did. And Mitt Romney just looked at him as cold as you'll ever see anybody and said, "That's too bad." I mean, the guy was going to die because that was just one of the things that was going to help him live. But, you know, the American people are like, "Well, anything but pot. We can't do that. Why don't you get some Oxycontin or something like that? We got to find something else that's going to keep you from dying, because if it's pot, you're going to die. I mean, if it's pot, we're all going to go to hell." Sorry, I went off there, but it just drives me crazy because neither one of these guys have any integrity whatsoever. Would you agree?
I don't think they do. You know, the fact is that Mitt Romney has to run on Bain Capital because his record in Massachusetts is so disgusting. Romney Care, green energy initiatives, just like Obama, he forced Catholic hospitals against their own doctrine to administer abortion pills.
Who did?
Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney. No, I'm saying that on purpose. I want to make sure everybody hears that.
Oh, okay.
Mitt Romney forced hospitals to do this. You know, I don't recall
the
Republican Party.
Also funded Planned Parenthood.
Well, see, I don't recall the Republican Party talking about this. Is this the same Republican Party where Santorum went over there and said, "I don't believe in anything you're doing," and then after he lost, he said, "I support you"? What is that all about? Does he got an R next to his name? When the most conservative candidate, who's the most conservative
candidate? In the cabinet.
Right. Well, exactly. That's just it. You know, I want a piece of the power is what it amounts to. And, you know, without a doubt, the most conservative candidate, without a doubt, is Ron Paul. But we can't talk about him because he's that nutty uncle in the back room that we're not supposed to pay attention to.
Well, as a conservative, I want to blow something out of the water tonight, because we've heard this 2 years ago when our congressman ran. If we could only send businessmen to Washington, things would be fixed. As if they're the miracle cure. Let's not forget, businessmen are micromanagers. Our federal government's not set up for micromanagement and central government. It is set up to where the states actually make most of the rules. But whenever we say, oh, we need to send businessmen to Washington, what are we really saying? We need micromanagers, because that, in essence, are what businessmen are. They're managers. To me, that's a very dangerous thing.
Well, we take a lot of automatics these days, because if they're a businessman, then all of a sudden they're wonderful. I don't recall the people, but there are, you know, a guy named Ronald Reagan wasn't a businessman.
Nope.
And I think he did a pretty darn good
job.
Silly
actor.
Yeah, he was only an actor. That's right. And I thought he did a pretty good job. So the Republican Party has gotten to a point, it's like, well, it must be a businessman. I'm trying to remember, there was someone that was a businessman and ended up being president. Oh, I think his name was Jimmy Carter. Yeah, Jimmy Carter. Wasn't he a businessman besides a politician?
He was a peanut farmer.
That's right. But he owned a business, and he was a businessman. And we all know how well that worked.
I'm not saying business people are bad, but I am saying they are micromanagers. They have to be. They have to watch every dime. But somehow when they get to Washington, they forget to watch every dime, but they wind up managing everything else.
You know what, though? This is all bull anyway, because, you know, where in the Constitution does it say, well, you need to own a business? You know, if you follow that document called the Constitution, you don't have to worry about the rest of it, because you're not going to, you know, you've got all these 435 representatives. Most of those people try to be business people because they're passing all kinds of legislation in their for their districts and for the nation to help with jobs and the rest of it. And every time they pass something, it gets worse. And I, to this day, am trying to figure out why they don't go ahead and get rid of why aren't they get rid of laws? There's a guy named Rand Paul that's doing that right now. He's trying to get rid of laws. That's who we want. We want people who are trying to get rid of laws. Wouldn't you agree?
Exactly. And I think the Republicans, this is going to come back and bite them sometime around October when the truth really comes out. Because last 4 years ago, we complained. They didn't vet Barack Obama. We don't know anything about him. You may remember the Charlie Rose, Tom Brokaw interview where they said, we really don't know a lot about this guy the night of the election.
They had no
idea. I got a feeling Mitt Romney's not going to skate to the election, you know, without us knowing who he is.
Well, there's a reason why, though.
I'm telling you.
Because, wait a minute, there's a reason why. And this is where the supposed intelligent Republican Party, the Republicans themselves, don't get. And that is that why, okay, the party... I'm sorry, not the party. The press, well, actually, and the party, but the press especially wanted John McCain, and he got slaughtered. I mean, my God. And I always still wonder why he didn't go after Obama himself. And then now we have, they want Mitt Romney. The GOP and the press want Mitt Romney. You're not telling me that they're not going
to
have the greatest time of their life destroying every part of Mitt Romney they can?
Obama said he's looking forward. Can you see what a debate between these two guys are going to be like?
Well,
try to attack him on Obamacare, and you got Romneycare. Try to attack him on green energy initiatives, and guess what? Mitt Romney did the same thing in Massachusetts. Try to attack him on gun control. Guess what? Mitt Romney pushed it. Try to attack him on forcing employers to cover for birth control. Guess what? You've got the Catholic hospitals in Massachusetts situation where he forced the abortion pills. I mean, you go down the list, and everything that you can argue against Barack Obama, right down to growing government and spending more money, Mitt Romney did himself.
And their economy, from what I understand, didn't do very well, Clay. When he was out, I think their economy had gotten a lot worse.
Yeah. Well,
when he left office.
He left with a 36% approval rating, and this is what we're pushing, you know, to beat Barack Obama, a 36, you know.
I, what do you do, though? I mean, there's not much you can do. I have a story I'm going to read here in a minute, and it's, where is it here? It's in regards to, not Wall Street, another one here, but I'll get it in a minute. But, you know, what about the Morgan Stanley thing? How about that? Morgan Stanley, there are $40 billion missing. Now, if I'm not mistaken, didn't the Obama team and his idiots under him and with Republicans, whether they say it or not, didn't they pass a law that was going to protect us from all that stuff?
Absolutely.
Gee whiz, they passed a law and it didn't work.
And
wow.
You know, probably this time next year we'll be looking at another bailout, another TARP type thing. You know, you got the student loan bubble getting ready to burst, $1 trillion in student loan debt.
You know, I used to be an avid Rush listener, and the one thing that really gets me right now is that how often do you hear Rush talking about the fact that the same people that are donating to Romney's campaign were the same ones that were donating to Obama's campaign? You know, what about the Republican Party, Democrat Party? It's Goldman Sachs people who end up going into the Treasury and all that stuff for both parties.
Yep.
You know, that's why when Rush tries to tell you that, oh, there's a big difference in the parties, I just look at it and go, you're out of your mind. There is no way there's a difference in these parties. None. You know, except I always say they wear the same uniforms, different hats. Because when they go in the back room, they take their hats off. They're all the same thing. I don't have a problem.
Thomas Jefferson warned us of the bankers, didn't he?
What's that?
Thomas Jefferson warned us of the bankers, didn't he?
Yes, he did. But we're supposed to ignore history. I mean, just ignore history, and then you don't have to worry about the bankers and all the rest of them. You know, it just we have really dumbed down the electorate, and I guess, you know, I thought the internet and all the rest was going to take care of it, but I'll tell you, I'm amazed. I mean, I'm glad in a way for the internet because at least we have people like us that are out there who are fighting for it, but I don't know. I'm going to do a show I did a couple years ago on the brainwashing of America. My wife brought it up to me, and I just thought, you know what, that's a great idea. And this is actually a recording of this guy, and I'm going to play it in excerpts and discuss it. But this is a guy that actually forecast the absolute stupidity of the people in America, that by a certain point, you know, they've been brainwashed when you give people the absolute facts black and white and they make excuses and ignore it. That's exactly what happened. And he went through the part. You remember back in the 90s and early 2000 when there was a crisis here and a crisis there? You don't hear about the crisis anymore. That's why. And this guy was painting. He was saying this is done in 1985, and he'd already talked about one step or two steps had gone through already. But this is a progression, and he said it was going to work. So that's probably a show I'm going to do tomorrow. Thursday, by the way, I'm going to have Cynthia Davis on, and then I'm going to have the Minister of Truth on.
She's awesome. She's one of my favorite politicians.
Well, I'm going to talk to her about something right now. I mean, on Thursday, because I'm trying to understand why she didn't run as a Republican. Because, you know, I personally don't think she's got a chance in the world. Because you always have to remember, you got dumb voters, and dumb voters are going to go. They got to have an R next to their name or D. Otherwise, I'm not voting for them, because their way of voting is voting against the other party. That's what we've become accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, well, who's going to get the blame if the Ron Paul people say, I'm not voting for Mitt Romney, and Mitt Romney loses, Obama wins? Then what's going to happen? They're going to blame Ron Paul and the Ron Paul supporters for losing the election, when in reality it's the deadhead Republicans who just vote for anything that's got an R next to their name.
It's already started. My mom gives me a guilt trip every time I see her. I ask her, how, you know, what's the difference? I know, but we got to get Obama out there. Really? Well, how is voting for the same thing that Obama is getting Obama out? A skin color change isn't getting Obama out.
It's skin color and an R. That's all it is. And he may be slightly, no, let's not say conservative. He's slightly less liberal than Obama.
Put the word conservative and him in the same sentence.
Yeah, and don't think for a minute, though, that he's not going to be writing orders on things. And how many times do you see, and even the Republican from this district, in 7th District here, say, you know, there are certain parts of Obamacare that I like. As soon as I hear that, I just want to go shoot somebody. Uh-oh, I better not say it that way.
Go look on YouTube if you don't believe Super Dave. It's on there.
I know, exactly.
Video.
But almost every person in Congress has said, I like certain parts. And I understand why they say it in a way, because there may be something. But, you know, to me, it's like it's almost like guaranteeing an excuse for it to go through. It's like, well, there were some good things. When in reality, this shouldn't even be there. It shouldn't even be there, you know.
It's a violation of states' rights. There's nothing good about it. You know, on that principle alone.
It is. By the way, I'm going to do a money bomb for Paul Kurtman someday, and I hope that we get as many listeners. You and I have talked about this before, but we all have to. If you believe in what Ron Paul is doing, and you don't have to like Ron Paul, you know, a lot of people say I like what he's doing, but I don't like this and that. But if you like the idea that he wants to cut government and all that, there's a lot of really, really good politicians out there. And I'm not talking politicians like scumbags like a lot of them are. I'm talking people who run for political office who actually have integrity. They're few and far between, by the way, that we have to back. Because on my show the other day, Joe made a comment. He said, you know, if Dr. Paul was to die tomorrow, this is not dying. This is just as hot as it can be, and there's always going to be someone to step up to the plate to do the same thing. And, of course, you know, right now it would be Rand Paul, who's doing a fabulous job, but there's a lot of others out there. So I hope that the people start sending, even if it's $10, $15, send it to these candidates that are out there doing the right thing. You know, too many of us expect somebody else to do it. It's just wrong.
I want to say one final thing, Super Dave, tonight. We're headed to the Republican convention pretty quick now. We're almost to Memorial Day, which means, we're, 3 months away from the Republican National Convention? And it is going to be a very interesting convention. The Republican Party, without a doubt, it's split. This was a nasty, nasty primary. And it's nasty because they ran a bunch of moderates and liberals who had to lie about who they were, and it caught up with them. With that said, come August, they're going to ask for unity to beat Barack Obama. And I want to go back to 1964, to the Republican National Convention, where Barry Goldwater, a conservative, a radical in the Republican Party at the time, not very popular with the blue blood Rockefeller types like the Romney family. Or the Bush family. He won the nomination. It was George Romney, Mitt's dad, who decided unity was not going to happen in that party and staged a walkout in 1964. So when the Republicans tell you that we must unify and get behind Romney, you remember that Romney name in 1964, the same Romney name, the same family that organized a walkout against Barry Goldwater. You know darn well I'm not, is what George Romney said when asked if he was voting for Barry Goldwater, a conservative.
Right.
They hate conservatives in the Republican Party. They hate people who stand behind small government because the Republican Party likes their power too. Go back to the 1964 nomination of Barry Goldwater and look at the RNC convention and see what it was about. And then remind yourself, when they call for our unity, after the way they treated us as second-rate citizens, yelling and screaming at us. In fact, we've got Tom Stilson's mom, who's running for Congress, writing on Atlas Shrugged what a bunch of idiots we were at the Christian County caucus. And we were well-behaved. We were calling them upon the rules. And when they didn't follow the rules, we were demanding they followed the rules. And for that, we were uncivilized beast, as far as that woman's concerned. And this woman is running for Congress, her son's running for Congress, and she has the nerve enough to say this about us.
Do me a favor, Clay. I want to hear a little bit more of that. Can you hold on? We can talk about that caucus a little bit.
Sure.
Okay. You were there, right?
I was there.
Okay. All right. I think it's real important because I talked to someone from the St. Charles caucus. I think it's real important we talk to Clay about the caucus and exactly what happened.
I want everybody to go back and look at that 1964 convention.
Right.
I'm
going to take a break real quick, but we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Hold on, Clay. We're going to go ahead and talk about that caucus because I think it's really, really important. Okay? All right. You're listening to Super Dave Show. The number to call is 323-784-9620 if you'd like to be part of the show. We'll be back in a minute. Hey, it's Super Dave here. I'd like to speak to you quickly about the commercials you hear on this network. And the most important thing you have to understand is I do not put my name on commercials unless I have total confidence in these people. And you, as consumers, need to use the people that I recommend. The one thing for sure is not like your car is broken down. Where do I take it? Well, I don't put my name on something unless I have the highest regard for these people and confidence in them. So make sure you do use the people. Call them up. Ask them questions. And frankly, if you got a problem, come back and tell me, because then they know I'm going to come by and see them. And they don't want that. Because as you guys know, I am honest and forward about everything, and I'm not going to hold back. I don't believe in covering up just because somebody happens to advertise on the show. If they're not good at what they do, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to tell you. By the way, if you have people out there who you think would be a good advertiser on the show, or yourself even, give me a call, 417-770-6301, or email me at superdaveshow@gmail.com. It's really important that we take care of other freedom-loving Americans, and it's important that we keep shows like this on the air, because where else are you going to hear it? We're going to have some exciting shows coming up, and it's really up to you to help this show make it. Let's be good Americans. Let's take care of each other. Alrighty, let me take a minute here to tell you about my friend Jerry of Jerry's Transmission here in Springfield, Missouri. Alright, you know there's nothing worse than having your car break down, especially if you know it's transmission problems, because you pretty much can figure it's going to be a big bucks. But then who do you trust to take it to? Well, here in Springfield, I can highly recommend Jerry's Transmission. He's been doing it for God knows how long, 40, 50 years. This guy's old. And anyway, his son's doing it now, and they have a very experienced crew, bunch of good guys. I've met them, and just a great place to take your vehicle and feel like you can trust them. All right, they're 2035 West Kearney, and that's a few blocks west of Kansas Expressway. Please give them a call at 417-865-0668, and what you got to do is tell them Super Dave sent you, and then what they'll do is they'll charge double, and then I get half. No, I'm just joking here. Anyway, just give them a call. That's 865-0668, Jerry's Transmission. All righty, we're back here at Super Dave Show. We have Clay Buller on here, blogger extraordinaire. And if you'd like to be part of the show, 323-784-9620. We're talking. We're getting ready to talk about one of the caucuses. It's Christian County Caucus, and for those of you that aren't in the Springfield area, Christian County is basically right outside of Springfield. I used to live in Nixa. When Nixa is part of, if you've heard of Nixa, you've heard of Christian County. So anyway, there was a caucus there, and supposedly the I'll let Clay tell you about this, but supposedly the I guess it'd be the Santorum people weren't acting so Christian-like. Wouldn't that be a good description?
Yeah, that's a pretty good description.
Okay, the meeting starts out. Hold on. So the meeting starts out, okay, and they got the temporary chair. And for those of you who don't understand how it works, you get the temporary chair. And the temporary chair, the whole purpose is to elect a permanent chair, and that's the real – that's how it starts. So go from there. How did it start out?
Well, you know, it started off, they didn't want to follow Robert's Rules of Order. You know, they tried to do a simple majority, and we all understand.
Okay, hold on. Let's start back a little bit more, though, okay? All right. Did the temporary chair first say, okay, we're going to have nominations for the new chair?
Yes.
Okay. And how many names were announced?
Oh, I'm not sure. I think it was just basically two. I think it was... it was Walt Martin's, I think.
Okay, but I mean, there was like a Santorum supporter and I guess a Ron Paul supporter. Would that be right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Walt Martin's and sure.
Okay, so they went ahead and they held a vote.
Right.
And what happened when they held the vote? It was yay and nay? Is that what it was?
Their voting tactics were questionable throughout the whole process.
Okay, but how they do it this time? Okay, how they do it this time?
I believe they did a show of hands on that one. Ronnie, chime in if that's correct. I don't recall totally. I mean, it was such a frustrating experience. You know, it is on video, and so whenever you ask me for direct, you know, things, you know, this was all new to me, so taking it all in was kind of overwhelming to begin with, combined with the fact that it was emotionally charged based on these people not wanting to follow Robert's Rules of Orders and using a simple majority rather than two-thirds vote to get things done. I mean, they tried to push that off on us, and eventually they just kept wearing us out, basically, with their, you know, and eventually got the simple majority vote. And, you know, that's basically how they you know, ruled things.
Okay. All right. So, when did it start to get a little bit exciting? Let's put it that way.
Well, anytime Lisa Wagner stood up and argued for Robert's Rules of Order, you know, they got disruptful. They didn't want to follow the rules. I even got up there in her defense once and said, you know, over the last couple of years, I've really been wondering what it means to be a Republican. And, you know, I started talking about Thomas Paine and the tyranny of the majority, and I got booed. I mean, I got booed by these people. They did not want to hear the classical definition of Republican as Jefferson would define it.
Right.
You know, they, and it's on video. It's really amazing. You know, they you know, you start talking, the second I said our founding fathers, the boo started coming. I was like, you know, this is the problem.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, but there's progressives. I mean, the world's about progressives.
Well,
hey,
and, you know, there's,
we got somebody else calling in here. I think he may be able to help you out here or some, because he probably remembers a little bit more.
Is this Ronnie?
I believe it is.
Well, I'm going to let Ronnie do it because he can tell better than me. I just,
okay.
You know, I you kind of hit me up, and like I said, I was overwhelmed by the whole process. I mean, there was so much that took place, and Ronnie was more familiar with Robert's Rules of Order and how all this stuff worked. This was my first caucus.
Okay.
And luckily he was there, so let him discuss
let
it.
Me,
I'm
okay,
let
me ask Ronnie. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Clay. All righty. Is this Ronnie?
Yes, sir, it is.
How you doing, Ronnie? Okay, you were at the Christian County Caucus, right? This is, by the way, everybody, this is Ronnie White, Master Sergeant Ronnie White, and he's the instructor over at Ozark High School for, help me out. I'll let you tell him. That's the best way.
Well, I am the junior ROTC, one of the junior ROTC instructors at Ozark High School. It's an Army program, so there's three of us there, and I teach first year cadets, so that's what I do at the high school.
Okay, so we were talking about the caucus, and you were at the caucus, right?
Yes, sir, I was.
Okay, so it started out, and then they nominated a couple people, and what happened from there? I mean, got a little crazy, didn't it, or what?
Well, the nomination process was lacking, to say the least. I mean, you know, the Santorum people had their person. Actually, Alec Wade made the nomination. He's the one that made the nomination, and there was no discussion of rules or anything at that point. So, you know, they had to take a vote, and so they took a simple majority vote, and they did that by the first vote by show of hands, and everybody, you know, that wanted one particular or the other had to show their hands. And my question was at that time was, well, wait a minute, why are we going with simple majority? And then at that, somebody asked that question, and they said, well, the rules were posted on the doors at the back of the auditorium. So nobody was aware of what the rules were going to be. Even though they were fixing to vote on changing rules, they didn't give each person that entered a copy of those rules. They were just posted on the wall, and it was up to you to read those rules. Of course, they didn't tell you that either. So most people that were there for the first time, I mean, you know, had never been to a caucus, and well, you know, I had never really been to one, but I understood, you know, Robert's rules. And I started questioning, wait a minute, how are we going to run this if people don't know what the rules are? They didn't even read the rules. So, you know, that was an issue. Anytime that you want to change the rules of a meeting, somebody has to make a motion.
Right.
Then that has to be, if there's changes or amendments to that, then amendments need to be made, and then, everybody has to vote to approve those. They just forgot that part of it and went right straight to voting for who they wanted to be the committee chair.
Okay, so they obviously elected a Santorum person, and then from then on, was it bad news from then on or what?
Well, if you were a Ron Paul supporter, yes, it was bad news because most of the Ron Paul voters were in one little section in the auditorium there, and then you had everybody else.
What was the percentages, Ronnie?
I'd say that there's probably a third of the people there that were Ron Paul supporters.
What about Romney? Was there any Romney people there?
There were very few. There were some, not that many, but mostly Santorum at that time.
You know, don't you find it amazing that we now are supposedly the nominees going to be Romney, and there was hardly anybody at yours and many other meetings that were Romney people, and he's the choice? You know, it kind of reminds me of McCain in 4 years ago in 2008. Because I don't recall any of my friends or anybody jumping up and down saying, we want John McCain. I find this fascinating.
Yes, sir. Well, after this caucus here, after they did their county caucuses, they went to their district caucuses. And of course, they had to come up with their slate there on who the district was going to nominate. And I guess the first weekend in June, they're going to have the state convention here in Springfield. And the state will finally identify who its representative is going to be, even though, the media and circumstance have put Romney out front to start, as of now anyway.
I feel like I'm being ramrodded this year. It's like, this is who it's going to be, and that's it. And if you don't like it, tough luck. Wait till the next election.
You're right about that. Since the caucuses, I have done a lot of research and got involved with the Christian County Republican Central Committee here. I've been to one of their meetings here, and it was eye-opening, to say the least. The committee, all of the committeemen that they have that have been elected, they're all of the same mind frame, as far as I can, mindset. They all have the same ideals. I guess they meet over coffee and make these decisions, because they sure can't make any decisions at their meetings without a whole lot of arguing and carrying on. I mean, it's amazing to me that they can't run a meeting. That's the issue. They don't know how to use that. They don't even know how to use the rules to run a meeting. So it's pretty frustrating, and if anybody makes a motion that's outside the bylaws of the committee, then there's a lot of disrespect for that person, I think.
Right.
They don't want anything to change, as far as I can see. But
they figure they've been running the show for a while, and they want to continue running it, and how dare you, you newbies, come here and tell us what you want to do. They have no desire to listen.
Well, no, they don't. There was a lot of discussion, and I've moved away from the caucus now. I'm talking about a committee meeting now. There was a lot of discussion at the last committee meeting about go ahead and recognize committeemen for empty positions, to go ahead and just nominate somebody to go in there and fill those empty slots so that they could start preparing for the presidential election. And you would have thought somebody had asked them to give up their firstborn children.
Yeah,
they didn't want that to happen at all.
Well, and that's the problem. So I think are you a delegate in the state convention?
No, sir.
Okay, I am, and I think it's going to be really interesting, to say the least. But I will say one thing. I have a lot of friends up in St. Charles, and I guess you know what happened in St. Charles. And they are coming. They won the St. Charles area. Ron Paul won the St. Charles area, won the St. Louis area, won the Kansas City area. And, boy, I'll tell you what, it's going to be an interesting time when they get down here in southwest Missouri.
Yes, I'm sure it would be. I would love to attend, but I'm going to be at a camp with cadets, so I won't get to partake of that joyous occasion.
That's how it usually works. Well, all right, well, listen, hey, I appreciate you calling in, buddy. Sometime you and I are going to talk about the educational system here.
That's not a problem. Be glad to do it.
Yeah, we'll do that because, honestly, you know, when you were telling me what some of these people are paying, I mean, you know, he was telling me, ladies and gentlemen, that they pay like $1,000 per laptop. And when I see this, it's like, wait a minute, you can go to Walmart and get one for less than $300. Where are they shopping? You know,
when I give you that quote, that's a per individual computer. So, you know, I'm sure they'll get discounts for volume because they're going to have to buy about 1,500 of them next year. So,
I think it's important to find out what they're paying because, you know, a lot of people don't need super duper computers. And, you know, you can buy, like I said, you can buy a laptop for under $300, a Windows 7, the whole thing. I mean, there's no reason to pay $1,000, you know, unless you do gaming.
Well, sure. And, you know, what they need to do, what the district, any district that buys is going to go to one-to-one instruction where each computer or each student has a computer. When they devise this plan, they ought to be up front with everybody right up front and say, this is what our dollar limit's going to be on the device that the students are going to have. The problem here is they haven't, I don't think that they have done that. They have decided on the computer it's going to be a Dell, I want to say Ultrabook, but it's... And it may change, before they start spending dollars too. But the public is not aware or doesn't understand what those things are going to be, and I don't think that we do a good enough job of letting the public know that.
Well, you're right, and I'll go a step farther. When we elect the school board, that's when we need to find out who these people are. And I'm going to spend my time interviewing these people because I want to know why they want to be there and what their connections are. Because a lot of times a lot of these people run because they're connected to somebody who will be doing business with the city, if you get my drift. It has nothing to do with education. It has to do with connections. Would I be on target with that one, by the way?
In some instances, yes. some instances, it's a connection with a student. They want to get their student through high school with, I think, special favors sometimes.
Bingo. That's right. Usually there's a reason why, and a lot of times it has very, very little to do with the rest of it. Hey, caller, if you call back, I'll put you on here. But anyway, I just had to ask you about that because I find it fascinating that these people don't pay attention, and a lot of these people, I'll never forget something. Many years ago when I was living in Nixa, Christian County, I don't know if you remember the governor. What was the guy's name? Was holding the funds. Holden, I think it was, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was holding the funds, and what happened was since he was holding funds, Christian County was going for an increase because they weren't going to have the funds. And as soon as they found out they even said up there, they said, "Well, if we win, if we win the election, you know, if they win the bond issue, we'll go ahead and rescind it if Holden releases the funds." Well, okay, the idiot people go, yeah, I'm going to vote for another tax increase, school tax increase. Holden releases the funds, and guess what happens? The school board changes their mind. We're going to keep the money coming in as it is. So they got the money that Holden was keeping plus that. That's what happens in Christian County and all
yeah.
over. So. Okay. Well, listen, hey, thanks a lot. I'm going to do a commercial here, and I'm going to pick up another caller, okay? But you and I got to talk anyway.
All right, Dave.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Ronnie. Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. Bye.
That man is a class individual. Okay, caller. Caller, hold on a minute. I'm going to do a real quick commercial. I'll be right back. You're listening to the Super Dave Show. Numbers to call, 323-784-9620. And I promise I'll be right back. Okay, let me tell you what I do for my day job now. I work for a company called H&H Industries. And the only thing we do is fabulous lighting. Now, that can be the bulbs, the lamps, the fixtures, everything. But the point of it is we sell quality, and it's something that's going to last you a long time. It's not this garbage you buy at Home Depot. No offense, Home Depot, but they're there to sell you as many lights as they can. And I don't think they really care that much if, you know, if they, you have to buy twice as much, because generally if you see the big difference, you'll see that many times you'll have to buy twice as many fixtures and have twice the light bill if you buy garbage lighting compared to good lighting. So why don't you give me a call? I can stop by your office, warehouse, shop, whatever, and I can give you an idea what it's going to take to make your place that much better. The number is 417-770-6301. I promise you, you're going to be glad you did. That number again, 417-770-6301. All righty, we're back here at Super Dave Show, and we're going to put a caller on here. You listen to Super Dave. You're on the Super Dave Show. Who's calling?
Hi, this is John from Nixon.
Yeah, hi, John. How you doing? What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, I was just listening to you talk about the caucus and about the Ozark, you know, school district buying computers. And Nixon School District's just hired one of the principals that from Ozark over here in Nixon that's going to implement the same thing over here. So on the computer deal, so. But anyway, the thing on the caucus and on the basically the old people just don't want anybody else if they've got their own little private little club. And that has, with all the other people in the community that's decided to get more involved politically, they just don't know how to handle it.
Well, the things that
happened there at the caucus. And,
you know how they handle it? They say, just shut up and be good people over there and let us do our thing, because we're going to stay here no matter what. That's how they want to handle it.
Right. Yeah, and it was always so funny that, you know, anytime you wanted to bring up the name Ron Paul or anybody other than Santorum, it's just they would start, you know, frothing at the mouth. I mean, they just could not stand the thought of anybody else but Santorum. And in my thoughts, Santorum was actually the most violent one that was on the entire was running for president. I mean, he's just, I think he wanted to just get into a world war. I think he wanted to go out and bomb everybody.
You know what I call him? I make fun of the people that follow him. And, I know a lot of people don't like that. But the reason is because he couldn't wait to start a war, just like you said. And I brought up the little deal, and I said, hey, let's start, and this is Santorum, let's go out and start a war right after church. Go kill some Muslims right after church. That's exactly what it felt like. And that's exactly what the Muslims are doing, you know, the terrorist Muslims are doing over there. Let's go kill some Christians. What's the difference?
You know, the one thing that was really kind of crazy is every one of these Santorum people that I would talk to, the first thing they wanted to do was exterminate all Islamic countries. And I was like, are you serious? And I said, oh, yeah, let's kill them all. Let's kill them all. And I went, really? You really mean that? I said, woman, child? They said, let's kill them all. And I said, well, I guess that's what I'm going to separate myself from you guys. I said, I don't believe that every person is guilty and worth being killed, but that's these Santorum people. That's the way they were going on.
Well,
and I just had to separate myself away from anybody that was, that if they said they were for Santorum, boy, I went the other direction.
Well, you know, it's funny you say
that. That mentality is dangerous.
Well, it is. That they're supposedly Christians. You know, and they're out there, they can't wait to kill somebody. And that, to me, it's just like Muslims. I don't see the difference. You know, and I'm waiting for somebody to tell me the difference. Well, they come over and attacked us. Well, duh, we went over and attacked them too. You know, but it's okay.
We've been meddling in their business for, you know, 30, 40 years.
But, John, we wear white hats.
Just like Ronnie, I believe Ronnie's on the going to be running for committee man for his precinct in Christian County.
And you're going to vote
my wife
for him,
also,
right?
Yeah. Well, if I can't, I don't think I can. because he would have to be in my precinct, in which he wouldn't be because I'm running for my precinct. So
wife
are both.
But it's voter fraud. Just act like the rest of Republicans, as they're doing in Maine and all the rest of the states. Just do voter fraud. I mean, you know, just call up any Republican. They'll tell you how to do it. They try to make just Democrats, but it's Republican.
Sure. So just like Ronnie, me and my wife are running for the committee men and women in Christian County. And we are being opposed by, and it's kind of funny, we did track down the people that the Central Committee put to run against us, and they found a lady in a nursing home here in Nixa that's going to run against my wife. And then the other guy that's running against me is in assisted living. And so, I mean, it's just kind of, we're like, how low will they stoop to try to get somebody in other than, you know, a younger blood? They want these old, senile people to try to continue running. But they're not going to go to the Central Committee, but I don't know if they get proxy votes or not. I mean, if they get, you know, this lady in the nursing home, I don't know if that gives them a proxy vote or not. I don't know, but that lady in the nursing home is not going to be showing up to their committee meeting. So I don't understand why they did that, other
John,
than
what's your
to
last
try
name?
To keep us out.
What's your last name? What's your last name?
You know, Dollar Height.
I figured that. I want everybody to know that. I want everybody to know that. So we,
okay.
You know, yeah, because in that way you go there and you vote for the Dollar Heights. You don't vote for two people who are almost dead who got, you know, their foot in the ground. I'm sorry, that's what happens here. You know, and this is what the Republican Party's come to. Are you? Obviously you were at the caucus also, right?
I was at the caucus and I was at the last committee meeting, and. You know, I know that Ronnie went from was talking about the caucus, but then he went over talking about the last Central Committee meeting. And there was another committee man here locally that his name is Tom Taylor, that he is a committee man right now, and he is an avid Ron Paul supporter. And he did put up a motion this last meeting to bring in any of the unopposed people for the Central Committee, and which would have been, we're thinking at least five different people that are being unopposed in their district. Well, they did not want to do it. They voted him down 14-5, I believe, was what the vote was. And the thing is, that was against their own bylaws. And so there, these 14 people that voted no against Tom's motion were absolutely against the bylaws of the Christian County Central Committee. So they're trying to figure out what the game plan is for the next meeting. But you know that we're going to it's going to be a big stink. I'm pretty sure. I'd like to see Clay come to the next one because he is also on as a committee man. He's not going to be on the ballot, and I'd like to see Clay come. So maybe you know it might be a good way for him to do some blogging on the Christian County.
Now, Clay, I think he's a delegate also, right? I mean, not delegate. He's running for a committee man.
He's running for committee man in his district, yes.
Okay, so everybody in Christian County, we got to make sure that you, if you're in their district, that you go vote for these people. In their precinct, you got to go vote for these people because this is how you change things. You know, and yeah, I'm well aware that Tom is definitely a Ron Paul supporter. And do you agree? Now you've been a Ron Paul supporter for a while. I know you quite well, and do you agree with the fact that if Ron Paul was to die tomorrow, this isn't stopping? You know, this is not stopping. And do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, from everything I can that I'm seeing, that Ron Paul's still doing very, very well, and you know, they still say that there's a good chance that he could still go to Florida and still possibly win down there, get the nomination. Now, the press isn't going to want that. I mean, they're trying to keep, you know, the press is trying to skew everything they can.
Right, right.
But the press is liberal, so they want a liberal president. And so, you know, they don't care if it's Obama or they don't care if it's Mitt Romney. All they care is it's liberal. And both of those people are liberal. And really, one's black, one's white. That's the only difference that I can see between them.
Yeah, that's pretty close. He's the white Obama. That's what I call him. In fact, if anything, Obama, he basically structured Obamacare from Romney Care. It's the same thing.
Oh, yeah, same.
You know, so
there's not a darn, there's not a lick of difference between them.
No, there isn't. I think, Clay, did you have something to say?
No, I heard John mention my name, so I thought I'd kind of mention, yeah, I am on the ballot. I'm kind of in a decision-making mode, and Ronnie knows this too, whether or not I am still even a Republican anymore.
Well,
you know,
Clay,
I'm thinking
No, wait a minute. You know what? Wait. I want to clear this up real quick. We are Republicans. They're not.
Well, I am in the classic sense of Jefferson, but the problem is that this nation is an Abraham Lincoln nation.
No.
I mean,
but I think it's time we change what it really is. We change the party to what it should be and not what it's become. Because really, frankly, that's about the only way we're going to fix this. It really is.
And I agree with you. My problem is I can't stomach most of the people on that committee, honestly. And
well,
so
get rid of them.
Right now.
We're going to get rid of them.
Right,
that's
but
the
it's
whole point.
It's hard to get rid of them because you got to understand how things are done in Christian County.
We all have guns.
I'm not speaking up on that level. So I don't need anybody showing up at my house again.
Why not? They
Hey,
are
Clay. Clay.
Hey,
Clay,
I'm
digging into Christian County politics. You start realizing it's a little organized crime effort almost. You know, you got to – everybody kind of – I don't know. It's weird, and I think Mr. Dollar, I can tell you that there's definitely forces inside of Christian County that, boy, once you start opening up and peeling back the curtain, it's kind of, you know, wow. You know, and it's going on in our county, which is, you know, like you said, good Christian county.
That's – but you know what? That's in most counties. I mean, look what happened. I mean, but you know what? Look, you know what? You want to use some place as an example? Use St. Charles. They did everything perfectly, and you know that those people had an agenda when the Central Committee in St. Charles had an agenda, and the Ron Paul people played it perfectly and played it with class. Although the media said differently, and I'll tell you what, there's a 163 delegates they got from that. So we took over. In fact, I'm going to play something a little bit with Reality Check, and it's going to tell you that a lot of these chairmen in the states now are Ron Paul supporters. So they will start out and as chairman. They're going to be chairman for the next couple of years. So that's going to make a big difference. So I think it's time
well,
we stop
just,
thinking
I've
about leaving the party and fixing it. What's that?
I've come to the conclusion, I understand why we get some of the scoundrels we get running as Republicans, because it runs deep into the committee people.
Yeah, but we get rid of them. That's bottom line. When you say, John, it's time to get rid of them instead of them getting rid of us. You know,
that's correct.
Look at what the founders did. They didn't run away. They said, screw those people. We're going to go ahead and defeat them, and that's where I am with this. I'm sick to death of, you know, I've got friends who stop Facebook because they're following me. Well, I live in Springfield, and if you want my address, I'll gladly show you where I live. Come to my house, please.
Hey, Dave.
Yes.
Yeah, and what Clay has also said that he was having a hard time struggling being a Republican. Where I'm at here, I call myself a constitutional conservative.
Right.
Now, there are about, you know, three or four different groups that are kind of fall into that. Out of that, there is, you know, out of the Constitution Party, the Libertarian Party, you know, there's only one of those groups that have any power, and that's the Republican Party. And I want to bring the Republican Party back to where its conservative roots. That's why I am wanting to be onto the committee. That's why I'm wanting to try to knock these people out of there that think that Romney is the person that, to vote for when he's so liberal that I need to smack him around and say, bring him back as being Republican, constitutional conservatives. And I need Clay's help, and I need Ronnie White's help to be able to get that accomplished here in Christian County.
Yeah, we have to work together. And that's why I'm gonna put a plug in for you. And we need to support the businesses, we need to support the candidates. It can't just be, I'll vote for you and that's it. and then take your computer somewhere else. You don't do that. What are you doing, Wash, taking a shower there? Never mind. That's what it sounds like. But we have to be able to support the very people that are in this movement. I see way too often, and this is something I want to see change, that, you know, it's like you're a computer guy, but what do people do? They go somewhere else. No, you got to support him, because in order for him to get paid and make money, he can support these other candidates. But too many people just do talk, but they don't follow through, and that's just got to change. It's absolutely got to change. And that's what I'm trying to promote more than anything, that we become a real group and work together instead of working against each other. Look, none of us are going to agree on everything, okay? We're not. But we sure agree on the basics of it a whole lot more. And I'll bet you there's not one person you and I know who are Ron Paul fans that even have the stomach to pull the lever for Mitt Romney. I don't know if I can do that. I really don't know. Do you guys?
I'm not going to. There's no way you're going to get me to vote for Romney in November.
No, I'm not either.
You know, I don't see that he's the solution to the problem. He's not cutting any debt. It's been proven that he's going to keep things pretty much the same. He's going to increase military spending. You know, when asked what part of Obamacare he would repeal, the federal mandate was not his first answer. In fact, it was not even said. I think people who think that Romney is the solution to this problem are going to be regretting it in about 2 to 3 years.
That's what happens when I'm typing. You're supposed to continue. Okay. Hey, by the way, just so people understand, this is exactly why we can't leave and say I'm not a Republican anymore. Here's a quote by Ronald Reagan. I read it yesterday and read it a whole lot. I believe the very heart and soul of conservatism is libertarianism. I think conservatism is really a misnomer, just as liberalism is a misnomer for liberals. The basis of conservatism is a desire for less government interference or less centralized authority or more individual freedom. And this is a pretty good general description of what libertarianism is, if I can say it. That's Ronald Reagan. And that is something that we need to push on every single idiotic person who says they love Ronald Reagan, but they can't wait to vote for Mitt Romney. And they don't like, they don't like Ron Paul because he's a libertarian. Because when they say that, I go, then you didn't like Ronald Reagan. It works, by the way.
And Super Dave, that's what I'm battling deep inside is, you know, I watch these people in the Central Committee here in Christian County, and they just make me sick. Right? You know, I used to like Patsy Wilcox. I can't even stomach her anymore.
I never did.
They're just... I mean, we had a write-up in the paper the other day, and I know John can tell you who wrote it, that was talking about the libertarian scumbags that showed up at the Ron Paul meeting, forgetting that very quote of Reagan. It's so amazing how far left these people have gone that they don't even know who they are anymore, because they have forgotten the lessons that Ronald Reagan has taught and has taken on this whole new definition of the Republican Party. I have found the more I've gotten to know about these people, the more scum I think they are. And I know you and I don't see eye to eye on Mike Moon. I think he's a fine man. I think he's going to make a good congressman if he was to get elected. But you see what's going on within them as they push this Tom Stilson kid. You know, and I think Tom Stilson's just someone to take votes away from Mike Moon to make sure that Billy gets elected, honestly. He's 24. He lives with mom and dad. He has no life experience to be, you know, pushed up to a congressman. And, you know, there's got to be a reason why they're pushing this kid. And it's coming from people like Walt Martins inside the Christian County Central Committee. You know, Walt Martins is a total scoundrel, as far as I'm concerned, based on the things that I've been working with Mike Moon on, that you know, he's told me that, you know, Walt Martins at Taney County came up to him and asked him to drop out of the race because Tom Stilson's the candidate that needs to win this thing. And, you know, we ran a story on it because we found out that it was Tom Stilson's mom who wrote about us nasty libertarians at the caucus, you know, causing a huge disturbance, and which is on Atlas Shrugged if you go read it. Most John knows the article. I know Ronnie knows the article.
Yes, I do.
And I'm sure, you know, and they don't like us. They don't want us in their party. Yeah, I agree. We need to go in from within and change them. But I also realize the power structure here in Christian County is one that's just, it blows my mind the more rocks I overturn. And, you know, it just how corrupt the Republican Party is. And babies, I'll call them babies. You know, Walt Martin's is number one on my list in terms of babies for what he pulled the other day with Mike Moon. Walked past him. Well, I wrote a blog based on that conversation that Walt Martin's asked Mike Moon to get out of the race, and then we started putting the puzzle pieces together, realizing Laura S. on the Atlas Shrugged, who wrote about us nasty Ron Paul supporters on Atlas Shrugged, and if you read the piece, she sounds like totally white trash. She talks about the nicotine fit that had to be suffered over.
We're getting way off subject here, guys.
Okay.
No,
and I'm sorry. I'm just trying to give some background here.
Understand. And by the way, I've invited Mike Moon to come on. I have nothing against Mike Moon. It's nothing against him. I absolutely think he'd be better than Billy Long. It's nothing to do with it. So I think people are misunderstanding where I am with Mike Moon. I like Mike Moon. I think he's a nice guy, and I think he would be much better than Billy Long. It's not that hard at all.
We've had a lot of heart-to-hearts, and, I mean, he's really opened up to the Ron Paul thing in the last few months. He's called me up and said, Clay, I had no idea.
Well, he has
to start reading.
Let's be fair, he has to, though, at this point, because the Ron Paul people aren't going to vote for Billy Long. And, look, I'm not defending him. I'm just saying he almost has to, though. But I think he's opening up. I think he's learning a lot, and I'll give him a lot of credit for that.
And I think it's genuine. I mean, he came to me and he said, look, I've been reading this. He said, he's right on. I can't disagree with him on anything. And, you know, based on an article that he read. And, you know, he's come to me and we've had this conversation. But I know I'm kind of getting off track. Just you know.
Well, I want to say one more thing about Mike Moon, though. But, see, if people like me aren't hard on people like him, they're not going to change. I mean, I'm going to give my opinion. Nobody has to agree with it. I mean, no one has to. But you know what? When you see something there, then you have to point it out and they have to defend it. That's my biggest issue. You know, you don't say we're going to increase the military when most of us are Ron Paul supporters, and you know absolutely that has to drop just like the rest of the budget. That was on his website, and that was something that he was defending, and it was like, I think you're off base, and I'm glad to see he's grown. Let's put it that way.
Well, and I think a lot of us have gone through that transition where we blindly embraced the Republican Party because it was good versus evil. The Democrats were evil, Republicans were good. We picked them like Super Bowl teams. I'm going to go to the polls and vote for the good guys, the Republicans. You know, anymore we can't look at it that way because the Republicans are stealing as money of our rights away. As the Democrats, they're spending as much money, if not more. I mean, here we have a Republican Congress this year. They're supposed to be in control of the purse strings, and they post another $1 trillion debt. And they were incapable of even cutting $100 billion in spending.
Right.
This is not a party of small government. So.
Well, look, that's all a joke anyway. I think anybody that even pays attention knows that. But that's only the people who pay attention. I think what a lot of people tend to forget, it's about perception. And, you know, you talk about Mike Moon, that's his biggest problem. You know, it's nothing personal. I always let people know it's like he's got to do other things. And instead of not being Billy Long, he has to make some dramatic changes, you know, some dramatic thoughts out there. So, you know, you got to make some statements and you got to bring somebody to the table because otherwise it ends up, you know, most people don't know who Mike Moon is, unfortunately. And like I said, he's a class act. I like Mike. But, you know, most of the voters are fools that would say, hey, Billy Long used to be an auctioneer, and what a great guy.
Well, I hope people listening will consider donating to Mike Moon because, you know, because Billy is one of the establishment people. You know, he did everything he said he wasn't going to do. He's wound up doing it, voting for increases, growing government, growing, you know, voting against the Constitution. You know, this is who we've got. This is the reality of it. And, you know, he wasn't set up. He went in and drank the mortar on the Potomac Kool-Aid.
Well, that's not a surprise. I knew that up front, and that was it. But you've got to go out there, and he's actually taken lead from what some of us have said, and I'm glad to hear he's making some positive changes. But, you know, before, when I first got involved and he was telling me things, I didn't see a whole lot of difference. You know, I saw some difference, but not much. But you have to really – you have to point out who you are, and people evolve. But like you said, he's starting to pay more attention to Dr. Paul, like
right.
Most have.
And he's seen how people act within the party and that they're not sincere about their small government, that they're in it for the power of it. You know, and that's why most of these people are in it. And that's what turns me off of it, because our country's not supposed to be about power. It's supposed to be that the power is really spread out to where there's not one main component that has power. But, yeah, that's where we're at. And that's, you know, all these people on the committee, they're all looking for their little piece of the power and to move up. And to me, that's the turnoff of it. And that's one of the things I'm really fighting right now. So
human nature, people want power. And we have to deal with human nature, and that's what's going on. The biggest thing I think we can do, if anything, is wake some people up. And I when I'm talking to people, because I realize they're not bright enough to understand what's going on, I don't even mention Dr. Paul. And it's funny, when you mention all the things that he stands for without saying his name, these people, because they've already drank the Kool-Aid that Dr.
Right.
Paul is kind of nutcase. And that's what we have to do. We can't go out there, you know, because, it is, you know, honestly, it's not about Dr. Paul. He started, he's been the most consistent by far. He's the leader right now. But this is not about Dr. Paul. You know, in fact, let's go a step farther. With Ronald Reagan, it wasn't about Ronald Reagan, it's what he was doing, and that's the association that was there. It was about smaller government, those things. Unfortunately, I think some of those things didn't work out in the second term, but I actually think there are other issues we won't go into. But, hey, you guys can hang on or something. I'm going to take a break.
I'm getting out of here, Super Dave, so
okay.
I'll just listen from here on out.
Yeah, right? I'm leaving, too.
All righty. Hey, thanks, guys, for calling. I appreciate it. All righty. Okay, we're going to take a break here. If you'd like to be part of the show, the number is 323-784-9620. Happy to hear your thoughts. I think it's great when people call up and kind of let everyone know what they're thinking. Because really and truly, you know, how do we learn? I mean, honest to God, how do we learn? And even some of the candidates. And let me tell you something about the candidates. You know, for some reason... And this is where I do give Mike Moon credit, and he needs to call me if he wants to come on the air. It's up to him. The invitation is out there. But if we don't keep their feet to the fire as voters, as talk show hosts, whatever, it's our own fault. And many times I've had politicians, state representatives especially, one in particular came up to me and said, Dave, don't stop what you're doing, because if you do, we're not going to get the word out, because there's too many out there. You know, you got some idiot, and I got to take a break here. Let me take a break, and I'll go into my tirade in a minute here. All right, you're listening to the Super Dave Show. All righty, I want to take a couple minutes here to explain to you what I've been doing for the past year. And yes, this is a commercial break, and this means that you really need to pay attention, because if I'm saying it, it must be right. How about that? Okay, I've been involved with H&H Industries, which is a lighting company. Now, I basically do industrial-type lighting, but we do some residential, too. We have those types of twisty-type things, and a lot of people have fluorescents in their home. But what the one thing I want to tell you more than anything that I learned in this business was that most of us have zero idea about lighting. You just buy lights and you think, hey, it's that bright and that's it. Wrong. You can put the brightest light up there you want, but the problem is it giving your eyes what it needs to see well? And the answer in 99% of the cases is absolutely not. So what we do is we go into businesses, like I said, some residential, and we redo their lighting. Now, in businesses, we go in there and we'll go do an audit, and we'll see what you're currently using, and then we'll come in later with a proposal, and we'll explain to you what kind of lighting is best for what you have, the least amount of lights with the most output. Now, when I say output, what is best for your eyes and what's going to cost you the least amount in the future? And, you know, let's not kid anybody. At Lowe's and Home Depot and these places, their business is to sell you as many lights as possible. That's their business. I mean, when you walk in there, don't think they're going. You're going in there and you got someone that says, we want you to buy the least we can. They don't. We do. But the reason we do is, of course, our lighting is more expensive. However, it is much, much better than anything you buy at those other places. So give me a call off the air. My number is 417-770-6301, and we can discuss the kinds of things we can do. And, you know, you just don't know what you're missing until you get some good light in your house. That's all we have in our house anymore. We've got the H&H lights, and I can't even think about putting any other kind of lights in my house, because when I walk around now, as I'm getting a little older, I can actually see better, much, much better. So let me give you that number again one more time. That's 417-770-6301. Give me a call and let's see what we can get worked out. I really think you'll be happy with it.
You live here?
Yes.
Well, maybe you know what a zombie is.
When a person dies and is buried, it seems there's certain voodoo priests who have the power to bring him back to life.
Horrible.
It's worse than horrible, because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
You never get tired of that one. Yeah, just like Republicans. That's what it is. All righty, where was I before I started going a tirade here? This is kind of a late shot at the second half of the Super Dave Show. If you'd like to be a caller, 323-784-9620. And I'm going to get into us. I don't know if it's going to be tomorrow, sometime next week with Ronnie about the educational system. And by the way, we're going to be throwing some stuff out there looking for different subjects we're going to tackle. And, you know, it's funny, I'll think of them and then I'll forget. And then I need people out there. If there's something you'd like to talk about or something like that, email me at superdaveshow@gmail.com. And if you have a guest or something like that you'd like to come on, bring them on. Or even people running for office. I met some people the other day, and we actually, it doesn't matter, by the way, if they're in the Springfield area, St. Louis, Kansas, it doesn't make a difference, because we have listeners throughout the state. I am amazed by the archive listeners we have. It's been unbelievable this time. And, in fact, some of the candidates are well aware of that, and they're like, yeah, I'll come on your show. So we're going to have John Bruner on, who's running for senator, and I think a lot of the Ron Paul voters would like him. And we're not just about Ron Paul voters anyway. So I want to make sure you know that, because some people, it's like, oh, you're just Ron Paul. No, a lot of us like him. I'd be lying if I said differently. But no, it's really interesting that I think a lot of us like the Constitution. A lot of us think that it's more important to protect the Constitution, and you protect it by voting for those people. And the biggest problem in our voting system right now are the voters and the fraud by both parties. You know, I remember, actually Shane Scheller, the other day I was at some the birthday party for Paul Kirkman the other day. And for those of you who don't know who Shane Scheller is, he lives in the Springfield area. He's been a state representative for the last, finishing up his 8 years. And he's being termed out, and Shane is running for Secretary of State. And Shane is a class act. I want to tell you right now. I mean, I endorse some people, and without a doubt, I would endorse Shane. Shane is really a class act, and we need that. And just because, and we all have this tendency, this one issue crap, just because you don't agree with someone 100%, and I don't agree with Shane 100%. But I realize who he is. He's gonna answer to you, and frankly, he's actually gonna listen to you. A lot of these people, they go places and they go, I don't care what you say, I'm not gonna do it. You know, and we can't do that as voters. We have to realize that we don't agree with everyone 100%. I've even heard rumors that some people don't agree with me 100%. Can you believe that? Wow. That's unbelievable, but that's what it is. That's what it is. Also, for those of you out there, we even do money bombs in this program. It's kind of fun. I did one for Ron Paul last week, and we are going to be doing that again, by the way. But this time when we do it, we're going to try to do it in such a way that I can do it and not and have it simulcast with the Blog Talk show. Sorry it didn't work out last time. I'm technically deficient in some of those areas, and that's just the way it is. Another thing, if somebody would, before I go on to something else here, if you are a person who loves doing websites for someone and is good at it and would like to advertise on the show, I will be more than happy to spread the word and tell people to use you for that. So I want to make sure you know that, that you will help me out. I want to go to one article here that was in, what was it, in theexaminer.com. And it's Romney losing ground to Obama while Ron Paul collects delegates. Yes, Ron Paul is collecting delegates. And it says Mitt Romney has experienced an 11-point swing in his poll numbers versus President Obama in just over 1 week, according to the daily tracking poll of likely voters from Rasmussen Reports. Just over a week ago, Romney was leading President Obama by 8 percentage points, 50 to 42. The president leads Romney by 3 percentage points. You hear that? Romney is actually losing to Obama right now. So much for this brilliance of the Republican Party and the fools that think that Romney's the guy. While it's early in the election season, such a dramatic shift in the president's favor cannot be good news for Governor Romney. To make matters worse for the Romney team, Congressman Paul continues to gain on Romney by racking up delegates in state after state. And they're really worried about Rule 38. They're probably going to do something to fix that, but we're going to talk about that. Congressman Paul won He won 32 out of 40 delegates in Minnesota, further narrowing Governor Romney's delegate lead heading into the GOP convention in August. And by the way, they're going to have something called the Paul Fest in Tampa, and I hope to go there. And I'm actually going to be broadcasting from there, and I think as time goes on, we're going to pick up a whole lot more listeners. But it's funny, by the way, I have talked to some of the candidates on the side, and a lot of them, honest to goodness, especially some of the ones that might surprise you, a lot of them have become Ron Paul fans. Some of them were a little leery with Santorum, but, you know, I think sometimes a religion thing kicks in. And when the Romney deal came up, there's a lot of Santorum voters especially who have zero desire, except for the fact he's got an R next to his name, to vote for him. So I think this convention is going to be a whole lot different than you think. Anyway, let me continue with the story. Congressman Paul has an activated volunteer base and a well-organized group game, which we all know, while Romney's support tends to be money-driven and top-down. In other words, it's hollow. That's right, it's hollow. Isn't that great? I love it. Congressman Paul has been even with President Obama in the same Rasmussen poll, although there are no new numbers for Paul versus Obama this week. If those numbers stay the same or get worse for Governor Romney and Congressman Paul's star continues to rise, come August, GOP delegates in Tampa may be faced with a difficult decision if they want to beat President Obama. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly why the GOP is freaking out big time, because the last thing they want to happen, that they want to happen, is for people to still think there's someone else in there. They want this primary nomination process over. They just want everything to be Romney's and that's it. And I think a lot of us know that this is not going to be as easy as they think it is. So anyway, where are we here? GOP delegates in Tampa may be faced. Okay, if you would like to receive an update, okay, well, that's something else. But I am going to play something here from Reality Check. And Reality Check is Ben Swan does a fabulous job, and he's going to give you some words. He doesn't favor he never says he favors anybody. He's just telling it like it is. And what they've done for Reality Check at the Fox station in Cincinnati, by the way, it's legit. And what they do is they've decided that they weren't real happy with what the Republican Party was doing. And he's going to describe to you what they're doing. The story is in the GOP and what they're doing here, and he's just setting the facts straight. So listen up. This is really cool.
Well, a U.S. federal judge has ruled that the U.S. government cannot indefinitely hold citizens without charges, despite the bill that was signed into law earlier this year. So why did the judge strike down that part of the National Defense Authorization Act? Ben has a reality check. You won't see anywhere else.
We have closely followed the NDAA here on Reality Check. As a reminder, the National Defense Authorization Act isn't all bad. It allows for funding for the military, military construction, and for defense activities of the Department of Energy. The part of the bill, though, that poses enormous constitutional problems is one provision which states that the president is afforded the absolute power to arrest and detain citizens of the United States without their being informed of any criminal charges, without a trial on the merits of those charges, and without any due process safeguards protected by the Constitution of the United States. A group of writers and activists sued over this provision. They sued President Barack Obama, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta, and the Defense Department. They claimed that that provision could allow them to be arrested and held indefinitely in military detention. Well, yesterday, a New York U.S. District Judge, Catherine Forrest, ruled in their favor and struck down the indefinite detention clause. Again, to remind you of what that clause stated, the president would have the power to order the indefinite detention of any associated forces that are engaged in hostilities against the United States or its coalition partners, against any person who has committed a belligerent act, or any person who has directly supported such hostilities in aid of enemy forces. And it also states that the president has the power to place these individuals into detention under the law of war without trial until the end of the hostilities. It was last October when we explained why this violates the U.S. Constitution. Yesterday's ruling by Judge Forrest states that as well. The statute at issue places the public at undue risk of having their speech chilled for the purported protection from Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, and associated forces, i.e. foreign terrorist organizations. The vagueness of Section 1021 does not allow the average citizen or even the government itself to understand with the type of definiteness to which our citizens are entitled or what conduct comes within its scope. So here's what you need to know. That order prevents enforcement of the indefinite detention provision pending further orders from the court or an amendment to the statute by Congress. And speaking of Congress, today members of the House are debating the 2013 version of the NDAA. Some members of Congress want to include the indefinite detention clause once again. But there is a bipartisan group fighting it. Armed Services Committee Ranking Member Adam Smith, a Democrat, and Justin Amash, a Republican, they are pushing for an amendment that would ban those permanent detentions. We'll keep following it for you. And that is Reality Check.
If you'd like to make your voice heard on the story, head over to Ben's Facebook page. You can find it by searching him, Ben Swan, WXIX.
All right, I hit the wrong one. But that's all right. I think that was important anyway. So what that means is that they're not going to come and get me and keep me. So Clay, you're in good shape. We don't have to worry about it. God. Oh God. All right. Here's the one I want to play here, but I think it was kind of important. But that was important because a lot of us are real concerned about NDAA, and actually, I wish they would have it a vote on it again. So maybe we can at least expose these people have already been notified anyway. Not that it matters, I guess, but, you know, it's just unfortunate. This is in how Ron Paul campaigned. I think this is really important what we're trying to accomplish. I apologize for the last one, but anyway, we're going to do this. And, you know, this is what happens in, you know, when you're doing all this technical stuff, you make a mistake and well, that's just it. All right, we'll do one more time here. And this is in regards to what you're doing is making a difference in a Republican Party. So this is why we can't give up. They want us to give up, by the way. And for my kids' sake, I'm not doing it.
Welcome back. Earlier in the special, we talked about the RNC in the Mitt Romney campaign setting up a shadow party in Nevada. The reason for that tactic is pretty simple. Because what the national
media... It's a little hairy at first on this one. I remember this. But it smooths out in a second. So.
For more than just one Republican primary. So just to make the point clear, the Iowa GOP State Central Committee now has six members who have publicly expressed support for Ron Paul's candidacy. And that includes the new state chair of the Iowa Republican Party, A.J. Spiker, the former vice chairman for the Paul campaign in Iowa. Ron Paul supporters have also taken over the GOP in Louisiana, with not a bare majority, but a whopping 74% of the delegates to Louisiana State Convention in June. It's the same story in Alaska, where the Paul movement took over the Republican Party State Convention. They elected two Ron Paul supporters to positions of state chair and co-chair. In Nevada, Paul supporters also elected to lead the state Republican Party. And in Maine, the same story, where two Paul supporters elected to the Republican National Committee, as well as a number of positions within the GOP leadership. Which is why in an article titled, Forget the Nomination, Ron Paul's Revolution is Taking Over the Republican Party, W.E. Nussmore writes this. He writes, quote, whether media commentators consider this change a good or bad thing for the Republican Party and for the future of American politics, they have an obligation to report it to their audiences and to acknowledge just how significant this change is. We are witnessing no less than a political revolution in the country and a major shift in the GOP's internal composition. For two election cycles now, Paul supporters were an outside minority that had to make their case to the party establishment. It looks like in 2014 and 2016, Republican candidates will have to make their case to Ron Paul supporters in many places. And that is exactly why Reality Check is covering this primary the way that we are. Too often people believe that our goal here is to promote the campaign of one person, Congressman Paul, or to work to derail the campaign of Governor Romney, and both ideas are simply incorrect. The goal here is to make sure that we are honestly covering what is, in reality, the biggest story of this presidential primary season. In the late 1980s, evangelical Christians began to make their voices heard in politics. It took the media a while to catch up, not realizing that this fringe group was about to take over the Republican Party. It did. Today, candidates can forget about winning the nomination of the party without that evangelical vote. And the same thing is happening again. The media, once again, they don't see it. There is a new fight for the Republican Party, one that will likely turn the grand old party into a whole new party. Thanks for joining us tonight. Those here in Cincinnati, as well as viewers watching our live stream here in the U.S. and around the world. And don't forget, we're always on at Fox19.com. Good night.
All right, that's the one I wanted you to hear to begin with. And as you can tell, you know, this is not just about this election. I think that, for me, is the most exciting bit, because if we don't make it, and I haven't given up, by the way, because like they said, where I read somewhere else, that when it gets to a point that, you know, you get to the convention and there's looking, it looks like Romney's just not going to make it, it's very possible there could be somebody else. So I think giving up is ridiculous. And frankly, you know, like I mentioned last few days, we got to be real concerned about the fact that a lot of people think we're thinking that the Ron Paul candidacy was over, and it's nothing's farther from the truth. He's actually being very smart about it by saying, I'm going to concentrate on the conventions because, frankly, that's where the votes are. I think it's already been shown to all the other candidates, by the way, that when Ron Paul has a rally, he has a rally. And there's not one other candidate, not Gingrich or Romney or Santorum, that could match the crowds. Of course, in Springfield here, the Springfield News Leader, it would be a right-wing. Well, actually, I don't know what it is. It's a bought and sold for paper in a different sort of way, news organization. They weren't reporting it right because they said that Ron Paul had a rally, and I think the count was somewhere around 2,500 that showed up, and the news leader said no, it was only four to five, several hundred, that's what it was, several hundred. And I know for a fact, yeah, there were several hundred, all right, all over. In fact, several hundred would it be that there were a lot of people from other places that drove to see Dr. Paul. You know, it's really kind of exciting. And I think the other thing, too, is that when we talk about Clay's, I think Clay's in his 40s and Ronnie and I and these other people in their 50s, we're not those college kids that they're trying to make us out to be. It would be real nice if I was a college kid, but I'm not. You know, so I think that's what the media wants to portray it to be. If you'd like to be part of the show, phone number 323-784-9620. And just give me a call if you want to be part of it. Anyway, back to the Ron Paul thing. I think it's very important that we just don't give up and that we just find, you know, that we do everything. In fact, I'm going to be announcing soon, for those of you that aren't delegates, I know, Ronnie, you're going to be out of town, but for those of you who aren't delegates, we're going to have a whole bunch of Ron Paul people in Springfield in a week and a half. And I am a delegate, but I guarantee you we're going to have the party big time. We have a lot of people from St. Louis and Kansas City and St. Charles that are going to be there, and they are ready to rock and roll. They're ready. I mean, hopefully it's a celebration, and we pull off all kinds of delegates for Dr. Paul. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could take the state? I was just reading there. Wouldn't it be awesome if he took the state, though? That would be absolutely great. That'd be a party. So how many people out there, if you're not a delegate, would show up? I think it would be absolutely great. I still need to come and see. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm reading on the site here, and that could be an issue sometimes. But let me see. I had some other news I wanted to read here, too, which I thought was really important. And give me a second here. This is the problem when you're all on your own. You do this. Who wants to be a producer for the Super Dave show? There you go. I need somebody to be a producer of the Super Dave show. Then you can get this other stuff ready, and you can say, hey, hoo-wah. There you go. That's how you do it. My friend Ronnie, man, I'll tell you what. He knows how to get it rocking. Hoo-wah. You know, I did get this. By the way, I got this mail. It's a story that's printed, and I don't know if it's true. I'm just telling you, I read this, and it was like, I'm not sure. It was on my Facebook. Somebody said, I'm not sure if it's true. But it was, the headline is, this never made it to the news. Why not? Obama donates 7 Alaskan islands to Putin for $0. Now, I don't know if that's a real story or not, but I'm just telling you, that's something that came out. So it would really, really be interesting to find out what's going on here. And if that's the case, someone help me. Of course, we have this problem anyway. How is it that the federal government owns like over 80% of Utah? Whatever happened to state sovereignty? How come the state government owns so much of the land in the United States? Now, there is one thing for sure. We always talk about the fact that, you know, our country is broke. And to some extent, we are. But you know something? Our country, well, actually, they didn't buy the land. They stole the land from the states. And I'm trying to figure out why the state legislatures and all that didn't do something about it. If somebody has more information on that stuff, let me know. I know they just kind of take over the lands. I'm not so sure how they get away with that stuff. If one of you people know out there how they can do that, please let me know, because I think it'd be very interesting to find out. I have to read a message here real quick. Okay. Computer's not working fast enough here. All right. By the way, John Lilly with the particular one computer for each student and teacher. Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, back to what I was saying here about the convention. If you guys are interested, though, I will be letting you know. I will be. If you have some subjects you'd like to talk about on here, I'm repeating myself here, but I'm doing it for a reason. If you have some subjects that you would love to talk about, please bring it up. I'll tell you what I'm looking for more than anything. Ronnie, maybe you can help me out with this one. I'm looking for someone who wants to defend the present educational system, is going to tell me how wonderful it is. Maybe you could even find someone who is in charge of IB in a certain school district or a certain school who's going to tell us of all the wonderful things about International Baccalaureate program. I think that would be fabulous. And I think it'd be even that much more that I get to talk to them, because then we can find out who these people really are. Nothing I like better than exposing these people who think that they are allowed to take over our children's lives. I don't understand. You know, isn't Ozark supposedly a conservative area? I got to talk about this for a second. Ozark, Missouri, for those of you who don't know, is like Nixon. It's right outside of Springfield. And I thought the Bible Belt, it was all that, you know. They won't even talk to you about this subject. Yeah, that's true. You got a point there. Well, hey, you know what? Maybe you can let me know who I can call and just say, hey, I hear you got a great program here. How would you like to come on my radio show and you can tell everybody about it? I know how to do this, Ronnie. I know how to kiss butt and get him on the air. And then just kind of, you know, that's what I do. That's my specialty here, Ronnie. That's what we do. In fact, that's why I like to do with some of the politicians. It's not that I'm out to get them, but if they're hiding something, there's nothing better than uncovering what they're hiding. You know, in fact, you just brought up a subject anyway. You know, a lot of these radio stations do not interview people running for the school board. They do not interview people running for the county council. You know, and let's start with the school board. Why? When you go in and you vote for somebody in the school board, honest to God, do you even have a clue who these people are? Do you think it's a good idea that I interview these people that say, why are you doing this? Do you have children? What do you want to change in the school district? I mean, don't you think those are important subjects to be asking the very people that should be telling us why they're doing this? Because, frankly, I know of a lot of people. Yeah. You're right. He's right. You know, he mentioned that he's not sure it's a conservative. Well, it is Republican. But, you know, it's funny you should say that, Ronnie, because a lot of people actually think the Springfield, Missouri area is conservative. And I really don't think it's all that conservative. I think it's conservative, called conservative. The perception is because of the fact that we are, you know, there's a church kind of like a little bit different than St. Louis. When I was in St. Louis growing up, there was a bar in every corner. Well, in Springfield, there's a church on every corner. And then the bars are somewhere else, and that's where all the head honchos of the churches go. You know, I remember growing up, and I dated a Catholic gal. And I grew up as a Lutheran, and I dated a Catholic gal, and I didn't realize that they had the parties, they had the booze at their place. It's like, man, I'm going to turn Catholic here. They know how to party, that's for sure. And those Catholic girls, watch out. I better go get myself in trouble here. Yeah, that's right. But anyway, we are going to start interviewing these people. I think it's really important, even the school board. And you know who we need to interview is Dr. Lilly. He's actually a school board member. And Dr. Lilly, if you're familiar with that, Dr. Lilly is he is a conservative guy. Wait a minute. I think he was a Santorum supporter. No wonder he won't come on my show. He doesn't want to answer for that. He's a good guy, though. That's one of those things, you know, it's kind of like with Mike Moon. You know, we got to, you know, they can go stray for a while, then they come back to our side. That's how it is. Because, you know, honestly, I think when you have the Constitution and you have integrity on your side, how in the world do you lose? I really don't know how you lose. You know, that's the one thing. And to the Ron Paul supporters, I find it interesting for some of them that would all of a sudden say, well, if he decides, thank you very much, I appreciate that. If Ron Paul decides to run with Romney, then I'm not going to have a respect for Ron Paul. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Do you think Ron Paul is this stupid or this deficient of integrity that he's going to do something like that? And if he did, I would almost think that it would be like a brilliant move to maybe have some input that you don't have, because you're not going to You're not going to tear down the house all on the first day. And I don't think it's going to happen anyway. But if it did, I would vote. That's the one time I would vote for a Romney-Paul ticket. I don't think it would happen to begin with. But if it did, I would absolutely have confidence in Dr. Paul and say, you know, he's got something going on there, and we need to figure out what it is. I don't know what you guys think of that, but I've gotten some grief for that. But I honestly think that if he did that, there would be something pretty special there. So you tell me. You tell me if you think I'm way off on that one. Would you trust Dr. Paul if he was to jump on the Romney ticket? I'm not saying that's happened. I'm just throwing it out there. Would you trust him, and would you vote for that? 323-784-9620. Think about it, and I'll be right back. Alrighty, let me take a minute here to tell you about my friend Jerry of Jerry's Transmission here in Springfield, Missouri. Alright, you know there's nothing worse than having your car break down, especially if you know it's transmission problems, because you pretty much can figure it's going to be a big bucks. But then who do you trust to take it to? Well, here in Springfield, I can highly recommend Jerry's Transmission. He's been doing it for God knows how long, 40, 50 years. The guy's old. And anyway, his son's doing it now, and they have a very experienced crew, bunch of good guys. I've met them, and just a great place to take your vehicle and feel like you can trust them. All right, they're 2035 West Kearney, and that's a few blocks west of Kansas Expressway. Please give them a call at 417-865-0668, and what you got to do is tell them Super Dave sent you, and then what they'll do is they'll charge you double, and then I get half. No, I'm just joking here. Anyway, just give them a call. That's 865-0668, Jerry's Transmission.
My father's no different than any other powerful man. Any man who's responsible for other people. Like a senator or a president.
You know how naive you sound.
Why?
Senators and presidents don't have men killed.
Who's being naive, Kay?
Who's being naive? Oh, JFK, Pat Tillman, recently. Breitbart. You know, it just, if we don't pay attention to that, we're out of our mind. Like I said, my goal, without a doubt, is to, I'm going to do that show tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be my show, How to Brainwash a Nation. And I think you will find it fascinating. I got to tell you, when I did that show on broadcast radio in Springfield, I was getting creeps even doing it. And it was like, wow. It's just too much. It was just, you know, it's creepy because you're listening to somebody that talked, you know, almost, 26 years ago, 27 years ago, and he nailed it. I mean, this guy was telling how it was going to happen and everything. And, you know, I remember a couple years ago I did it, it was like, wow, this is unbelievable. And then now when you get to it, it's going on and you're going, man, this is spooky. So there's no doubt that the progressives have done a fabulous job of brainwashing people, even brainwashing, as Ronnie said, Republicans who think they're conservative. One thing they had to do at Christian County Caucus was sign a pledge. Oh, I read about that. Oh, yeah, here we go. But in fact, there's a news story out of very similar to this. What Ronnie was saying here, one thing they had to do, they had us do at the Christian County Caucus was sign a pledge that we would not vote for a third-party candidate. They try to tie our hands, but I might support a Romney-Paul ticket. Thank you. You know, it's really funny you should say that because I read somewhere, I got it here in my stack of papers, they say, my stack of stuff, I got it here somewhere, but one of the states is trying to guarantee, they're trying to guarantee that whoever goes in there, give me a second here. Oh, it's in here somewhere. But they're trying to guarantee that whoever goes, whoever the delegates are, has to guarantee that they're going to support the Romney or whoever, that they have to do that. And according to Rule 38, and I'm going to play that probably in tomorrow or the next day, Rule 38 just basically says that no one, and I have that article here too somewhere, if you are a delegate, you absolutely do not have to vote for the candidate that you were assigned to vote for, that actually you don't have to do that. And but now it isn't interesting how the Republican Party is coming out with all these pledges and, well, that's just a pledge. I mean, they're actually saying you have to vote for them or you're not going to be on the slate is what amounts to. Hey, wait a minute. This is politics. Let's just do what all the rest of them do. We'll go up to them and say, you're absolutely right. I will vote for that person no matter what. And then you get there and you vote for Ron Paul, if it isn't Ron Paul. And they go, wait a minute, you lied. And you go, hey, we're in politics, aren't we? That's what we do in politics. I learned from you guys. You see, they don't like it when you lie. They expect you to have integrity. And, hey, I do have integrity. But unfortunately, you're losing audio. How are you doing that? Unfortunately, though, this is politics. You have to do something. Let me see. Look how our delegates are in Southwest Missouri. Patsy Wilcox, Alec Wade, and John Putnam. These people aren't going to vote for Ron Paul. You know, and I know John Putnam, and I got to talk to that guy. Because he's not a terrible guy or anything like that. He's a pastor, though. You know, and you know what? I got to talk to John Putnam about this and say, you're a pastor and you're going to vote for Romney? Not because he's a Mormon. I couldn't care less about that. I got to talk to him because he's not a terrible guy, but you know, some of these people are, I mean, they're actually good people, but I think they're just so brainwashed by all this, as I'm going to talk about tomorrow's show. They're so brainwashed by this that they're going to do it because somebody tells them not to. So maybe, you know what? I'll have John Putnam. How about having John Putnam on this on the show? I'll have him on the show. We'll just see where he stands. Because John knows I'm upfront honest about it. So I'm gonna put the word out and see if John will come on the show. Of course, I'm sure there's going to be people out there. They're going to listen later on in the archive, and they're going to notify him and say, Super Dave wants to talk to you and find out why you're going to vote for somebody else than Ron Paul. Let me see. I think John Putnam was doing the I'll ask John. I'll say, hey, John, I remember at the tea parties that you told me you had in Joplin. Weren't you talking about lower taxes and less government and drop the spending? And you're going to vote for who now? You're a Romney guy? Come on, John. Help me out here. So, hey, we got a week and a half before I can talk to John. I'll try to have John on my show next week and then see if we can do some help there. How's that? You know, like I said, he's hey, look, we can't freak out. And even if he is a delegate, he says he's going to vote for Romney, it may change. Because if, honestly, some of these people, good people, by the way, are so convinced that their vote has to be Romney's the guy because he's the only one to beat Obama. I have a friend in St. Louis, and it's hard not to kill him sometimes, but he made a comment the other day. This is going to really irritate some of you people out there. He made a comment the other day. He said, if Ron Paul was to be the nominee, he'll lose by 10 million votes. And I said, Bob, you don't have a clue what the hell you're talking about. And he's one of these people that knows everything. And when he says something, I just know. Well, good. Did you actually know that Obama was going to win last time? I remember him and I talking about it, and he said, nobody's going to vote for that guy in the Democrat Party. Well, so much for positives there, so much for being a know-it-all. But I actually think that if Ron Paul ran against Obama, I absolutely believe it would be a landslide. And the reason I say that is because there's a lot of Democrats who realize that Ron Paul is not a Republican as the Republicans are today. Actually, I think a lot of them actually say, you know what, at least he's not out there to control our lives. Like the Santorum people were trying to do, incidentally. Alex Wayne said he's going to vote for Santorum there in Tampa. Oh, boy. Well, see, there you go. He's going to cause... Well, you know, that's a good thing, because if Alex Wade was going to vote for Romney, then it's a good thing he's not going to vote for Romney. He's going to vote for Santorum. That could work. So we could do that, because the Ron Paul voters, that's the one thing about that. The Ron Paul voters are not going anywhere. They are not, absolutely not going to change a thing. They are without a doubt going to stick with Ron Paul when it comes to the convention. There is no way on God's green earth this is going to change that. All right, what happened to my screen there? Come on, get up there. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. Wouldn't it be kind of cool, though, if some of the Santorum people just went ahead and did that? And I think the delegate count is really going to be something special that's going to happen here. I think that's the one thing we really have to understand, that if Ron Paul can continue what he's doing and keep winning delegates, and that's what he's concentrating on, let's do it. So I think our duty for the next couple weeks, people, is to continue to try to convince some of these delegates that Ron Paul's the way to go, and even show them. Maybe Romney will be down by then. And the other thing is, too, and I've told some of these other people, it's like, don't you dare get mad at the Ron Paul people who told you up front they aren't going to vote for Romney or Obama. They told you up front. So if you knew that up front, don't you dare. Oh, Scott McGill. Mitt Romney was not his first choice for president, but conservative political activist Scott McGill has come to accept that Romney is now his only choice. That's why I don't have any respect for the man. He calls himself a conservative, and then he votes for a liberal, big-time liberal. How can you take these people seriously? Sorry, I don't mean to yell, but how can you take these people seriously when they turn around and they say, I'm going to vote for him because of the fact he's got an R next to his name, and he's not, oh, let's go a step farther. He's not Obama, and guess what? He's not Ron Paul. I don't get it. Let me say, Miguel, who mingled with some of the GOP stalwarts among acres of high-power rifles, hunting knives, and camouflage gear. Yeah, I don't understand, Scott. I don't get it. And frankly, he's going to have to tell me, because I don't get it. Somebody's got to tell me. But I'll go back to what I said before. If Rom, you know, when it comes to that point and it gets to the election, let's say Romney is the candidate and people say, I'm not going to vote for him, I'm going to vote for Ron Paul, and the Republicans lose, you do this up front. Don't get mad at the people who vote their conscience. Because I think the one thing the Ron Paul people are saying is, we have the guy we want. You gave in. You don't have the guy you want. You have the guy that the GOP establishment told you had to have. So this is my warning to the archive listeners or the people who are listening right now who think that the Ron Paul people are just going to bow down and say, yes, we're going to vote for Romney because he's not Obama. I'm telling you right now, you're making a fatal mistake here. If you're going to calculate anything, you better understand these people have integrity. And they're not going to do it. All right, we're winding down the end of the show here. I appreciate everybody coming on. Tomorrow we're going to do how to brainwash a nation. I think that is so important, and we'll do some other stuff too, but I think it's really important. We'll do that in the first hour unless we have some other news. I appreciate everybody else coming on, Ronnie, Clay, John. I think it's been great. It's been a good show, and I think we're getting places. But Ronnie, quickly, I am gonna call. I'm gonna do what I can to see if I can get the gentleman you gave me his name. I'm gonna see if I can call and get him on here. So, all right, thanks everybody. I'll see you tomorrow at 7 o'clock.
You can't quit.
And why not?
Cause you're fired.
You can't fire him.
Why not?
He quit.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
forget it, he's rolling.
It ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough... The tough get going. Who's with me? Let's go. Come on.
Thanks. I needed that.